Welcome to Sports 1140
AHTK. Good morning, good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and die.
Attacking run-of-the-mill morning show
with Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Katie Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
Drive. I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
602 on The Drive. Dave, Katie, and Nate. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. And a busy, busy day for you. NFL Draft. You're on deck. How many rounds? Well, no. How many minutes of the NFL, honestly, over under, Nate, how many minutes of the NFL draft will you watch?
Let's see. We don't have an event for the first round, so 4 to 5.
4 to 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Four to five minutes.
Like at most.
At most, and then you're done?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're just getting updates on your phone?
Yeah, they'll tell me.
Katie? I mean, honestly.
You know what? This is the great thing about it. I don't feel like you have to watch all of that at
right.
all. Like, that is what Twitter is for.
Twitter will have it.
Well, it's pretty much up. The same like anything now,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
I mean, it seems cool at the moment, but you realize like nothing's going to happen with these guys for months.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to get all that information.
I was thinking the other day while I was up late. Obviously, we get up early to come in and do this show, and I'm watching NBA playoffs because the games are going to go late on the West Coast. And I was thinking, man, 20 years ago, like on the East Coast, when you had a morning show, how in the world
be miserable.
Did you get your content? You didn't have the internet. You didn't have Twitter. Like that is a tool that makes doing our job so much easier. You don't have to watch every second. You don't have to wait for the paper to be delivered to your front doorstep to get your information. It makes things a little bit easier for us, yeah?
Think about how much harder we'd have to work.
Oh, God. You're looking through the paper every morning. Everyone's jamming for their own copy of the paper.
Terrible.
Then go through the sports section, cut out the box scores. Back when the newspaper mattered. Now, and it wasn't like kindling for your charcoal.
Can you imagine sitting there and like reading the newspaper as we do this? Like, hey, we got the box scores here, whatever it might be.
Right.
The A's got a home run from Chris Davis.
Yeah, okay.
You have all the, like, the inked fingerprints and your elbows are all inked up. Mm-hmm.
No one likes a guy with toner on his fingers.
All right, so quick fire here. Heat, Hornets. Hornets win by 2. They come back, outscore the Heat in Miami by 8 in the fourth. They take the lead 3-2. Are the Heat done, yay or nay?
Ooh, yes.
Yes?
Finished.
That's it?
It's Linsanity.
Katie, are they done?
I don't think the Heat are done.
No?
No.
Do you think they'll win in Charlotte?
I think they have. Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think they're going to win the series?
Yes, I do, Dave.
Okay.
Going
Here's
out
what
on
I like,
there.
Though. I like seeing vintage Dwayne Wade. I like that he's kind of doing his, I don't know, every year in the playoffs, it's the same guy like that.
25-5-4.
Right. Yeah. Just doing the thing like he's 10 years younger.
The thing about Charlotte, and I think they have really something special there. I think they're going to get it together a little bit more in the next year or two. But one of their biggest things right now is just their consistency. They don't have the consistency game in and game out right now, I think, to really do what they're supposed to do to close out this series.
Well, Steve Clifford has them poised.
Our guys are fighting hard, and, you know, we went +8 in the fourth quarter on a playoff game on the road, so they did a good job in the end.
Clippers fall without Blake Griffin, without Chris Paul in Los Angeles, 108-98. Nate, are the Clippers done?
Yes, they are definitely done.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Blazers are moving up with a bullet right now in the Western Conference. I like them. Yeah. You guys know I like them.
No, and again, we didn't talk about it yesterday, but Steve Kerr was named the Coach of the Year, and Terry Stotts was second
on
that
list. It was really close.
But to me, he was the Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, I can see why they gave it to Steve Kerr, because the last time the NBA wins record was set in, what was it, 95, 96?
Right. 96, 97, I think, but either way.
Yeah, so it was Phil Jackson, and he won it that year as well. So I get the precedent of, yeah, you broke a record in the NBA with 73. It's a big deal. But I'm like, you know what? He sat out, what, the first 30 games or so because he had the back injury, and Luke Walton did it, and you look at his roster, and yeah, you expected them to be able to have a great season. Portland, everyone wrote them off in the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they proved them wrong.
And this could have easily been a trap game for them, too. I mean, two guys going down for the Clippers, it would have been really easy to go down there and think, oh, we got these guys beat.
Terry Stotts likes their energy.
First half, especially the second quarter, the Clippers played harder than we did. They got baskets in transition. They got offensive rebounds. They got kickouts, extra possessions. And they played harder than we did in the second quarter. And I like the focus that and the energy that made the difference. It wasn't about any schemes or anything. It was about just locking in and to the task at hand.
This is just a second half dominant win, really, for the Trailblazers. They were down 5 at the half to the Clips, and then just turned it on a little bit in the third, and really put it in sixth gear in the fourth, and you just watch that score climb and climb and climb, and you're right. I don't know how the Clippers seem like they're a demoralized team, and for good reason. They're a demoralized team. They've lost their two biggest stars.
Well, and even if, I mean, they are kind of in the twilight of their window as a franchise, too. Yeah. They have a good core of guys. We know about Paul and Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, obviously, J.J. Redick. Between those four guys right there, it'd be really difficult for them to upgrade at any of those four positions. And that's not to say that there aren't better players out there than, say, J.J. Redick, but it'd be difficult to get a guy based on salary and, you know, guys you'd have to trade in order to upgrade from J.J. Redick. So they've got a good core of guys that is not going to peak as a title team.
Nope.
And now that Griffin
what do you
do? Do you just deal? It's not like they're stuck in quicksand. I mean, they are a 50-win team.
Are you
almost
happy?
They're a high seed, but they're not a title.
Yeah.
That's not a title group.
The thing is that the Clippers have been historically bad for so many years. Mm-hmm. So now that you've had strung together a few years of success, are you happy with the fact that at least you're a winning team and you're in the playoffs and your season ticket sales and your merch sales, like all of that stuff is far better than it has been in years. So are you happy with having some superstars on your team and just never really getting to
you're happy,
the finish
but
line?
You're not content.
But what do you do with this team now? They're not going to win anything with these guys, and which is crazy, because that's if they were in the East, they would probably be able to make it to the finals.
I think so. They should be the favorite in the East.
You don't think they can build around that core four?
Well, no, but I'm saying that's a core of four, so they can upgrade the three. They would probably have to do it, I don't know, through the draft, maybe. I mean, do you think they have the kind of money to bring in? I don't think they would for Kevin Durant. I guess that's what I'm saying is that.
Well, and he's not going to go there because he's not good. He wants to be the focal piece of any place that he goes. Mm-hmm. I think his ego would dictate, you know, that situation. Mm-hmm. Now, would they dominate people if they brought him in? Probably. Do you think that's going to happen?
No.
Not likely.
That's what I wonder. Do you need to up? Do you necessarily need to? Is that core four enough to where, with the cap moving a little bit, and I'm not sure on all their contract situations, but with that core four, is that a four that you can build a bench around, the proper bench, and be a title contender? Because those are four damn good players.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. They've tried to do it through free agency, whereas the Spurs, who
and they
had
went
this,
out and got their coach's kid.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But who the Spurs, who have been so good for so many years and have had their core guys for so long, guess how they did it? They did it through the draft. Mm-hmm. And that's a longer process, but they've been doing it for so many years now that it pays off for them. The Clippers have been trying to do it and win now through free agency. I don't think that they can go that route. They've tried it. It hasn't worked.
Well, let's look at that. They traded and got Chris Paul. They drafted Griffin.
Can you imagine if he had gone to the Lakers?
Yeah, I've wondered that before, how that would have turned
reasons
out, good or bad. Yeah, that was one of David Stern's finer moments.
He's just like, no, you guys, no. We're not
doing
this.
I'm tired of you guys. We're going to give someone else a chance for a change.
Yeah, right. I love the idea of that, whatever, that little paper coming across his desk or coming into his email inbox and him just being like, you guys,
it's like, no,
come
I'm almost
on.
Done. Yeah, I'm going to say no to this one.
Although, looking at it, like, I don't know, about a year ago, I was reading an article about it, and it's not like it wasn't like the most horrible trade in the world. I've seen worse trades come across. The Clippers, incidentally, have $82 million currently committed next year.
Okay.
This is
so
next year.
They got a pretty tight little cap.
Very tight.
And here you're just, this is, I had to double check this because this is the Clippers' recent draft history. I'm talking CJ Wilcox, Reggie Bullock, Furkan Aldemir,
Trey Tompkins, awesome.
Right?
Furkan,
Travis Leslie, Al-Farouq Aminu, who's not on the team,
and
Blake
he's playing
Griffin.
Extremely well for Charlotte. It's Charlotte, yeah.
Portland.
Portland, yeah.
But he'd be a good fit on this team.
He was the one
team.
That came out and scored like the first 8 points for Portland the other night.
He
yeah.
got that broke ass jumper that was just falling. Yeah.
What's rough about the Clippers is they have $82 million committed next year. $70 million of that is the Big Four. $70 million of that is Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and then surprisingly, and J.J. Redick only making $7 million next year.
Which, steal.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. But you've got the other big three, Paul making 22, DeAndre making 21, and then Blake Griffin 20.
This is the difference. This is the difference between a team like the Clippers and a team like the Spurs, because guess what? Your top players for the Spurs are not taking that much money. They're saying, bring me in some other people. Don't leave me $8 million to work with in the offseason.
Yeah, the Spurs sure as hell aren't giving DeAndre Jordan $21 million.
You wonder, there's two things. First off, as we do post-mortem on the Clippers.
I know, Clippers roundtable, 339-1140.
Obviously, Blake being out, as long as he was, that's huge. And
yeah,
they still won 53.
Yeah, they played so well without
him.
So
you wonder what would they have done. I look at the roster of this team, and it's not just a star roster. I look at the roster, and I'm sitting there on paper going, well, okay, so you have your big four, but then you got guys like Jeff Green. Then you have guys like Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce, a vet. Even a guy, you know, we make fun of him, but Austin Rivers, okay.
He's
good,
played well for
them. Ninth man off the bench. Like, Luke Mbah-Mute to come in. And be your defensive specialist.
It's
Doc
crazy
Rivers
they
has
look
a lot.
Great on paper,
they
don't
look
they?
Great. They arguably look like a top three team on paper, and not just there's a bunch of superstars. But you look at it, and you go, this roster is built very smart.
So like, who is it? What is it?
I think Blake Griffin being injured is a huge thing, and I think at some point, weirdly enough, I have.
They don't have as many problems to deal with in the offseason as Houston does.
They don't. And we'll talk about Houston next. And I want to ask you guys this, too. Is it fair? And I hate piling on at bad points. I've never truly been sold on Doc Rivers.
No, I'm with you.
Let's talk about that when we get back, because I wonder if that's not part of the deal as well. It's a busy day on the drive. Our DeMarcus Cousins Parts 1 and 2 start today at 7:30, 11. Opportunity to win a 50-inch high-def TV. We'll continue this conversation next. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Night. I toss and turn. I keep stressing my mind. I look for peace, but see, I don't attain. What I need for keeps this silly game we play. Now look at this. Madness, the magnet keeps attracting me. I try to run, but see, I'm not that fast. I think I'm first, but surely finish last. Cause day and night, the lonest loner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night.
So here's my day thing with Doc Rivers. It's not just me. Orlando, okay. First real deal there. Questionably talented team. But then he goes to Boston. And that's where he wins championship. Perennial contender. But you always have the snarky, cynical part of you, Nate, you especially, of course, who goes,
no, he doesn't.
Who goes, okay. But how much of that, like, we've heard, how many times did you hear Rajon Rondo this year, for example, when talking about the Celtics? Talking about how he had Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, who are two of this generation's greatest on-floor leaders in the game, Garnett and Pierce.
Well, and at that time when Rondo was there, he was a more malleable player because he was younger.
And now Rondo, we talk about like he's a coach on the floor. You know, you say what you want about Rondo, but he tries to lead. He tries to coach.
He makes the decisions.
So you have two guys in Pierce and Garnett that are like super leaders. And then you have budding leader in Rondo. And you wonder, okay, so how much of the coaching on that team was Doc Rivers and how much of that was Kevin Garnett? Could I not make the argument that Doc Rivers' L.A. Clippers teams, based on the amount of talent they have, are one of the most underachieving teams in the NBA?
Is it because they're in the West?
I mean, you know what?
Yeah, well, because how do you define underachieving? I mean, they're winning mid-50 games consistently, but I am with you on the point that I think Doc, until Kevin Garnett showed up, was an average coach. I think he's shown to be pretty good at managing egos. But, yeah, I mean, they were, let's see, before those guys showed up, they were 24-58 the year before, 33-49 the year before that. He basically struggled to keep his teams above 500.
They go from 24-58 to 66-16. Mm-hmm.
What does it – do you think the fact that he was pretty not good. The general manager in Boston?
Sure.
Do you think it has anything to do with him having that
yes.
power now?
Yes.
And does he decide how much he's paying players? Does, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues in Clipperland. And I mean, Dave brought up a pretty good point. He has assembled a pretty decent roster there.
But he's overpaid them. He
right.
doesn't leave himself much leeway.
Yes. And then to go out and make, I don't know, one of your big acquisitions, your kid, like, even though the kid can play, it's just weird.
I will say he's played better under his father's
yes,
system.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I was surprised when it happened, but he is a better player than I thought he was.
Mm-hmm. What I mean by underachieve, and listen, with the Clippers, the guys won 57, 56, and 53 games, and you could argue this was maybe his best year of coaching in L.A. because of all the crap. It's not just yeah. Blake Griffin was hurt. Mm-hmm. It was Blake Griffin was hurt because he punched out his trainer.
Equipment.
His know? Buddy, too.
Right, right. So there was a lot of drama there, and you got a lot of – oh, and by the way, let's not forget the whole DeAndre Jordan saga mm-hmm. last year yeah. of which the Clippers retained him. So you have to give Doc a little bit of credit. I just think they – for the roster on paper, I can forgive this year because of the injuries to Paul and Griffin, but – at some point, you go, every year you're supposed, this is your year you're making the Western Conference Finals. This
yeah.
is the year you're,
yeah.
and they haven't done it.
Where I stand, his strength is personality management. Mm-hmm. I mean, when
sure.
it comes to X's and O's, he is one of those guys that has to have good players in order to really succeed.
Right.
So here's the question. If you're Steve Ballmer, let's say the Clippers fall out this year, do you honestly take a look at saying, you know what, it happened with Doug Collins and Phil Jackson. We've seen this stuff before where coach gets you to a certain point and then you say bye-bye. Do you honestly take a look and say, you know what? We need to restructure a little bit. We need to bring somebody in that gets this team over the top because we maybe only have three more years of a prime window with our big four.
Unfortunately, I mean, I can see where you're saying with that, that yes, most people probably would. But because he is such a new owner, I don't think that he will do that.
He seems to be a lot more patient
yes.
than some other new owners.
His personality dictates.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That makes
You'd
a lot of sense.
You'd think that he would be very impatient,
yeah,
and he's not.
He's such a super fan in the sense, and a lot of these new owners, these younger owners that come in into professional sports period, whether it's the NBA, whatever, it doesn't matter. They're such a super fan that I feel like they don't necessarily look long-term like that. Mm-hmm. You've got a winning team. You're enjoying being at the games. You've got a great coach. So I don't think that that's something where he goes, hey, what's going to happen in 2 years? You know, they signed DeAndre Jordan, and I love him as a player, but he's limited.
Right.
He rebounds.
$21 million.
Get,
I mean,
yeah, he rebounds and gets lobs. There was in the game the other day, he had like a 7-foot shot with nobody around him. He didn't even want to pull up for a jumper. He took it to the rim and did a little floater and bounced it to the free throw line off the backboard.
Good move.
He's limited as a player, mm-hmm. and they overpaid him. He has value, but you need other pieces.
Yeah, if you're the Clippers, if you're Steve Ballmer in this case, you spend about 2 seconds looking for a new coach. And if you don't find a name that is going to placate that locker room, because that's the big lava pit you're trying to avoid, right? There is no doubt in my mind that these players love Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. And if you kick him down the road, you're going to be dealing with a mutiny unless you bring in someone that is guaranteed to be better.
And who possibly could that
I don't have a name for you.
Right. I think the real issue is they need help in the front office.
Sure.
Because
probably, yeah.
they mismanaged their salary. they're leaving themselves. They basically put all their money into this pot and said, it better work out this year because it's going to be the same team next year.
Right, over a peeing contest with Mark Cuban.
Yes.
Like, that's what it came down to, right? Like, hey, wait, hold on. That's our guy. You can't pay him that money. We want to pay him that money.
They're not getting Ken Catanella off the board, bitches. From the 916, you can text us at 44-11-40. That's pushing the line between reasonable host and trolling. They've had some bad breaks on the Clippers. I don't think Doc is the best, but it's stupid to give Kevin Garnett more credit coaching than him. Oklahoma City, Spurs, and Warriors aren't easy teams to beat. Now, I give the texter credit for that last statement.
I believe we said about the Western Conference.
But it's not just that. It's not just, hey, Kevin Garnett's a better. It's a comment. I think it's okay to ask the question, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen.
Right. I mean, how much coincidence is there really when you go from being, what did we have it at, a 28-win team?
Right. To a 66-win
team. To NBA title, yes, with Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett.
Right.
Just a coincidence.
I
don't think they were. I'm not saying Kevin Garnett was the coach of that team. That's not fair to say.
Right, but there's some help.
His leadership value on the floor is a gift to a coach. It's a gift.
From the 916, we all bash Vinny Del Negro as a coach. He won 56 games with the Clippers. Doc's averaging 55.
I don't bash Vinny as a coach. I think that he's underrated.
You bash him all the time.
Oh, that's right. Dang it. Let's get that sound queued up, Jay.
Constantly.
I'll step in front of that.
I agree. I think we've talked it through. I think, yes, you're right. If you're Steve Ballmer and the Clips flame out, I think it's very responsible to ask the question. It's not necessarily that Doc's back. It happens with a lot of coaches. You can only flip the Gatorade stand over so many times. Yeah. You can only toss the whiteboard so many times before they tune out and a new voice helps. I think this Clippers team, the roster as it's constructed, if they get some health luck, God, I think it's a fantastic roster.
Yeah. It's the texter, you know, the best point there about the Thunder and the Spurs and the Warriors. I mean, do you, other than Westbrook and Durant, do you say that Thunder roster is better top to bottom than the Clippers?
No,
not based on this conversation.
I think top to bottom, we got a break here. The Clippers roster is the third best. I think you've got the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Clippers. I think those are the three best 1-12 rosters in the NBA. But, you know, you've got the injury bug and some other things. The Houston Rockets, that's a whole different story. I asked you guys earlier about the other series. Rockets lose to the Warriors. Nate, are the Rockets done?
Rockets are done.
Yeah, you safe
bye-bye,
saying
Jason
that?
Confirm.
Speaking of post-mortem, we'll do that on your Rockets next. Your Rockets, I say, on your home of the Kings, Sports 1140 KHDK. I might have been a little impatient on driving a vehicle before I was 18.
A little bit.
I might have taken out a vehicle when I wasn't supposed to.
Be worse.
You know what's funny? I'm sure Nate was at the same in Trinity. I mean, Nate and I grew up in the sticks, both of us.
But I was
driving like a good 8 years before it was legal.
Yeah.
Like I learned how to drive on a tractor, so you learn how to drive a stick. Mm-hmm. But we lived like 15 miles off the highway, like back up in the mountains.
Oh yeah, and all the roads are squares up there anyway.
Oh, and it's like windy. My dad would pull over right when we got off the highway and let us drive. That's how we learned to drive. And he would fall asleep in the passenger seat.
Attaboy.
I'm like, are you crazy? Like,
attaboy.
Not only do people there like drive in the middle of the road, like you don't know where you're going around the turn, but there's like wildlife that you could potentially hit and kill.
On deer duty.
Yeah, it was dangerous.
Classic like Papa Christensen.
He said, "Hey," hanging out of his mouth. That's fantastic.
I hope none of our CHP friends are listening to this now.
Hey, you do what you do.
Guess what? I have my license now.
Yeah.
It's time for your 10K day giveaway. Sour's code word. Hey, in Monopoly, it's the space with the question mark.
Chance.
That's absolutely correct.
Yes.
That's absolutely correct, Nate. Text Chance to 807. 87 Enter online at cagedk.com. Hey, do that by the end of the hour. Message and data rates may apply. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. One randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. All entries will also qualify for a $25,000 grand prize. Let's reset real quick. Later today, in the 8 o'clock hour, you're going to have an opportunity. You can be the second three to guess who the Oakland Raiders will take in the draft this evening. And we've already had three guesses.
It's tougher than the Niners.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So they're off the board. So you have an opportunity. You guess your three. If you pick it correctly, we already did the Niners earlier. You could win a 50-inch Samsung HD TV courtesy of the Home Theater Company.
Here's the question. I know you can't pick Raiders, you know, the 49ers. It's one, you know, but can someone pick a pick that was made on the 49ers side? That's not against the rules, right?
Yeah, that's not against the rules. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But nobody has done that. We have not doubled up yet.
DeMarcus Cousins, part one and part two of those interviews, that's going to be in just about an hour from now. And then remember, we're going until 9:30. Want to get to the Rockets, guys. I have no place else to put this, so I just wanted to throw this at you for really no reason because it's what I do. The U.S. government finalized the amount of money they spent going after Lance Armstrong yesterday and released that figure.
Oh, no.
Does anybody... I'm almost scared to do this.
I have no idea.
Seven, eight figures, or nine?
Let's see.
I hope it's not nine.
I know.
Seven.
Seven? Okay.
Seven figures. So you're in the tens of millions.
Oh, my goodness. 20?
20. Katie goes 20. Nate?
That would be an eight figure.
23, 6.
You said it was in the tens.
Yeah, I said it was in the tens, right? Yeah, 3, 6, 7, 8, right? 3 zeros, comma,
poor Jay's
3 zeros,
in there shaking
comma,
his head at us.
And then plus two, right?
Uh-huh. Guess what? We're not.
It's called
teaching
eight, Dave.
Is that what? Oh, did I say seven? Said,
yeah, I was saying it had to be seven or my idea.
It's eight. It's eight. I told you it's eight.
This is obviously not a math class.
Okay. 42 million.
42 million. Well, due to Price is Right rules, Katie Christensen wins.
God damn it.
32,267,279.85.
So that is what in comparison to the amount that the Department of Defense spent on promotional stuff with the NFL a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
I
don't know, man.
Add Deflategate, too, Nate.
Good work, everybody. Yeah. The money on Deflategate.
What about, like, the
NFL's
whole,
got us
the
by
whole MLB drug scandal and all of that? Like, how much money does our government, our taxpayers, spend on going after professional sports?
It's a lot of money.
Holy cow.
It's money well spent, I say.
You can do a lot of things with that.
I sleep better at night knowing Lance Armstrong's behind bars.
So, yeah.
It's been brought to justice.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, those damn cycling cheaters.
Right.
$5.4 million was the DOD to the NFL team.
Okay,
so
all right.
They, you know, that's whatever. Eight, you know, five times, six times as much.
Yeah, a little over six.
Trying to prosecute Lance Armstrong.
Okay.
To put a lid, by the way, on this Clippers conversation, thank you. Here we go from the 916 Text of the Day nominee. I take the Clippers roster over the Kings roster any day.
Oh, I agree.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Holy cow, right. that's so smoking hot. I mean, almost dropped an F-bomb just now.
Honestly, I can't even touch the text line anymore because it's freaking on fire from that hot take. Well, of course you would. Are you kidding?
I would say about 90% of the teams in the league would.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness gracious. Now, you've got the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, they would take that roster, too.
Dear Lord, I don't know what to do with these Houston Rockets. They are screwed.
I think it comes down to one question with them. Obviously, they underperformed based on their expectations and everybody else's, you know, prognostications before the season. But to me, I don't think that Dwight Howard is going to be there next season. There's a few teams that have been mentioned and possibly where he could go. And an interesting one, actually, to me, is Dallas. If you're going to move forward with James Harden as your cornerstone, as the foundation of your franchise, can you do that with a player that is not a two-way player and lacks real leadership? Yes, he can score, but is that all he gives you?
Yeah, how much of last season was the aberration?
Right.
You know, like, are they, with a player like that, I think what you're saying is their peak is probably a lot closer to what they did this year than what they did last year getting to the conference finals.
He cares about himself and the beard. That's really what it comes down to.
Those are the
first three players.
Yeah. That's it. The beard, and the ball.
And myself. Mm-hmm. Myself and the beard.
We were talking before the show. Yeah, here's a guy.
Me, myself, and Irene?
I was going to kind of keep going with it. I was like, the thing I was going to say is just going to be stupid, so I'll let Dave say that.
Well, this is where numbers are just that, numbers. James Harden this year, 29 points, 7.5 assists, 6.1 boards.
And an NBA record for most turnovers in a season.
4.6 a game. 1.7 steals. Shot 86% from the free throw line and shot 44% from the field. Obviously, percentages.
What did he shoot last year from the field?
From the field last year, he shot 44%.
So is that about in line with his average?
His career average is 44.3. He shot technically 43.9 this year. Okay. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. His percentages are pretty much in line. Shot 36% from three. His career average 36.8. So, I mean, his percentages are right in line. But a guy averaging 29, 7.5, 6 with almost two steals a game. You look at that and go, my God, he's like top three player in the NBA.
That's the problem with people that just want to look at numbers. And to a certain degree, where the league is going with analytics. It just, to me, it's so much more complicated with that. And I think that James Harden, you can't argue that he's a great player. But I can argue, from my take, I don't think he is the piece that you build a franchise around. I actually think he was best when he was the third option in Oklahoma City.
All right, so you're Daryl Morey. You're the GM of the Houston Rockets. What are you doing in this offseason? And will Dwight Howard opt out? I think that's an interesting question. We'll tell you what he makes and why he will or won't. Plus, a new member of the front office. This should be finalized any moment now for your Sacramento Kings. We'll share a little bit about this guy as well. And it's not Nate Goodyear. It is your home of the Kings. Yeah, I know. It's Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, you got kids? Yeah, good. Bring them to the Junior NBA WNBA Skills Challenge this Friday, 6:30. That's tomorrow, kids. Rancho Cordova Sports and Events Center, open to ages 9 through 14. All the winners will advance to the regionals in LA for a chance to win an all expenses paid trip to the Nationals in New York. The event will also, the Nationals. Hey, they're in Washington, D.C. What the heck, right? That event will also feature guest speaker and former Sacramento Monarch, Ruthie Bolton. To register for free, go to junior, that's JRNBA.com. I didn't see you.
Okay, playing to 10 by ones, winners after three. Katie, who wins, you or Ruthie?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a really good question.
Hey!
Wow.
You know what?
Oh, shade thrown.
I will say I always feel like I have an advantage over a guard because of my ability, you know, my height, my size
and defense. Yeah.
And yeah, I can defend a guard too. So, you know,
what if she gets hot from outside?
I will say this, she'd have to shoot over like with my arm up. What? Like,
well, I mean, but couldn't she? 70.
Katie's like, get that chump ass.
I will say this. If we were doing an arm wrestling match, I know exactly who would win.
I'm actually doing a scouting report in my head right now. So, like, if you played up on her, then isn't she just going to go right past you?
But
she's quicker.
That's the thing is that I'm, for my size and whatnot, like,
I tried to do a little jab step on Katie the other day, and I didn't get anything with it. So
to 10 by ones, you said?
Yeah.
Are threes
winners after
two?
Three.
Are threes two?
No, ones and twos.
Ones and twos. So
winners
threes are worth two.
Three, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to set the line at Ruthie -2.5.
Okay.
I'm going to say Ruthie -2, and she's a favorite, -2.5.
All right.
Just saying.
I don't care what Dave thinks because
I'm offended by that. You're just saying that because she's a woman.
I would.
Are you inferring that both parties in this game are not?
Yeah, because we don't know who he's referring to.
You are inferring. No, I just wanted to say something funny,
so proceed with your sports show later.
God dang it.
You cannot take away the fact that that woman is a legend and an Olympian.
I'm telling you, I might root for you, Katie. I'm just
saying. Yeah. Well, this is the great thing about it is that I have, you know, really good confidence, whether or not it's valid.
That's the best confidence. You got all the confidence, the good confidence. You got the best confidence of all the confidence.
It's one of those ex-athlete things. I mean, it's like asking her if she was Scottie Pippen, could she defend the Warriors? Like, well, of course she's going to say.
She's a pro. That's any schmuck that even played like high school basketball.
Right.
It's like, oh, I could lock that fool down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you totally could. You do great
please.
On Ruthie.
And by the way, that's like every man that's ever watched a WNBA game. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, I could beat her.
I got into a big... Sorry, we got to move on.
No, go ahead. I got into a big
argument with some of my friends up north a while back. Like, I think it was over Christmas or something. Some younger kids. But it was just like, dude, you guys realize that the you could take the 12th player on every WNBA bench, and they would destroy us.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, no, man, no, because I think he played at some small college in Florida. He's a pretty good player, but he's like, you know, we played against some of the UConn girls there. We scrimmaged against them, and blah blah blah. He's like, yeah, but. You don't understand what I'm saying here. Like those.
That's like saying that every UConn player that's ever played on their roster is on a WNBA roster. No.
It's like, sorry,
like
man.
One or two from each, 4 years. It's no.
Don't care how hot you think you are. That's not happening.
It doesn't work that way.
The knock on the Kings front office.
Yeah.
The biggest knock, whether it's perceived, real, you decide for yourself, is that Vlade Divac is a coalition builder. Vlade Divac understands locker room and even talent. But that the weakness in the front office is the mathematics, the metrics, the knowledge of the CBA. Now, again,
the weakness or the biggest weakness?
The biggest. And I'm not here to say whether that's accurate or not. You guys all decide what you read and make your own decisions. However, if let's pretend for a second that those are very, very accurate criticisms. On paper, again, much like the Clippers, on paper, the hiring of Ken Catanella is the exact type of hire you need for that front office. This is a guy that checks every single box that that front office currently allegedly doesn't check. MIT grad, Sloan Conference regular, worked in the NBA front office, working on numbers and salary cap. This is your ultimate type of capologist dude. Mm-hmm. And recently coming over from the Pistons, work with the Nets. It sounds very much like, to put it in terms that we all, I'm sure, can easily understand, this is a guy that can do everything Pete D'Alessandro could do and more mathematically, mm-hmm. but isn't going to have the power that Pete had to make those personnel decisions.
Oh, okay. Because as far as the only math I knew from Pete was that one plus the Phoenix Suns equals nothing in return. Well, so
here's the thing with Pete. Beyond judging him, here's something that I think is unassailable. Pete knew the cap. Pete was a lawyer.
He's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy who understood. What he did with that knowledge is certainly debatable. But when it came to understanding why the Kings didn't have their second-round pick in 2018 and if they could trade it and blah, blah, blah in CBA, Pete knew that like the back of his hand.
Pete's biggest downfall is that Pete didn't make his own decisions.
I think in part that could be accurate.
And guess what? He took the fall for it. Maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I don't think it's much of a secret that Chris Mullin was an advisor.
Sure.
He had so much pull and sway in terms of decisions being made.
I don't think you're wrong at all.
I mean, and he wore out his welcome fast.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
As soon as Vlade came on that he stepped away immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was his personal choice.
Right.
Or...
I mean, this went from a guy that was a top advisor to a possible coaching candidate.
Right.
To MIA.
To the head coach at St. John's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had an ex-NBA great, Kings great in Mitch. You had a guy in Mullen that Vivek was familiar with.
Right.
You had a coach in Malone that Vivek was familiar with. And then the big hire was Pete D'Alessandro, and then you make the shift from that to the new regime now, and Vlade has now basically filled out his front office. Mike Brotz,
there's going to be more additions, more hires. I mean, not necessarily to the front office. The obvious one is going to be, the coaching hire has to happen. But in addition to that, the scouting department is an area where Vlade is looking to really bolster that, as well as the player development side of things, which he told me specifically that he felt that was one of his big mistakes this year, is not having a player development staff that was much bigger in a
My
sense.
Goodness. So they haven't developed players in 10 years.
Yeah. We'll give you Ken Catanella's resume real quick when we get back, and then also tell you how that may or may not affect the Kings coaching search. Some updates on that as far as candidates, interviews, etc. A possible timeline for a new hire. We'll cover that next on Sports 1140 KHTK.